Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Subscribe on iTunes at Toddcast Podcast.
Okay, so so now that I know your life story, let's do it all over again. Oh my God! Yeah, I mean, as soon as you push stop, it starts dumping down the record, and it didn't do it. I was like, "What is going on here?"
Oh my God! Yeah.
So we'll try this all over again here.
Okay.
Thank you again for jumping on the Toddcast here in Vancouver. We actually never really touched on this. How are you dealing with COVID? How is your world, and you know, on the other side of the planet, how is everything in your world in that regard?
Well, if I have to be honest, you know, first of all, my family or someone who's really close to me didn't affect by COVID yet, 1, 2, 3. Right. But so in my close circle, I don't know anyone who is affected by COVID. That's why I'm really happy about that. Everyone is still healthy, and I not have everyone or anyone really close to me that's really affected by the disease. But so that's the first thought that I'm really happy about. So it's not really that it like that scares me off, or it scares me off, but it's not like it's hurting me inside, because no one around me is still healthy. So First of all, that I'm really happy about. But if I see how the world is changing, and how I see like I have friends with businesses, and you know, like that part is really hard because that's how I see how people are really hurting, you know, like their business is closed, no customers, like the financial things is really, really difficult for those people. So that's what I see. Okay, COVID is really like hard for people and for this world right now. So but if I have to be honest, for my personal life, I'm still training. If I cannot train inside, I train outside. That's something that really learns me, because in the beginning, I don't love to go into training cold or training outside. But now COVID really learns me that I can train outside. And actually, I really love it now outside. So, yeah, personally, it's not really affected me, but how I see how it affects the world, that is something that really like hurting me. So
right, and that's something that you have to deal with, like the COVID protocols and the pandemic, you know, whatever the rules, let's say. That's something that you know, as a fighter for Bellator MMA, that's something that, you know, how long were you quarantined again? You said it was 3 days, and
yeah, 3 days in the hotel room. Yeah, before the fight. Yeah. Right.
And that last fight, I was saying, you know, don't blink, because, you know, it's over in a literally matter of a second. So maybe talk about that again, because I thought that was an interesting part of the conversation we literally just had. But talk about again about, you know, watching your opponents, and like how much tape do you watch prior, and like getting your, you don't want to watch too much because you almost get yourself psyched out for it, right?
Well, it's funny because if I fight an opponent, I just watch everything that she do, you know, like in the fight. And also with my trainer, Bob Schreiber, we have like our plan is really like focus on any fighter. But in that fight, I already know what she's going to do, how she's going to stand, how she acts about that thing or that thing. So I just really focus on my opponent. So if I fight someone, I'm just like, I'm going inside their mind, you know. I know that them so really good that I think that they don't even know that. But
Yeah.
That's why I see everything coming in the fight. You know, if she's doing that, I see it coming because I already see it in my mind before. So that's also something about my mental part. You know, and I'm so calm and I'm so relaxed that I just see everything coming, you know. So that's why I don't scared or I'm not surprised in the cage or in the ring what someone is doing because I already know that. So yeah, that's also something about the mental part, you know, like going in that situation and you recognize the situation and how you participate on the situation and you see how my four fights, my last four fights are going.
Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing that you'd mentioned previous was, you know, that it wasn't necessarily like, yeah, it was Kate Jackson that you were fighting the last time, but ultimately you weren't preparing for her specifically. It was more of just like a well-roundedness and you're ready to fight.
Yes. Yeah, that was it. And that's a funny thing because that's exactly that combination what I threw on Kate Jackson. That was the right combination that me and my trainer Bob Schreiber we trained for hours. So exactly that combination, that was the right combination that was going in the cage and it works. And that was the same with Williams. That was the same with the Turkish girl. You know, every combination that I threw there, that was the exact combination of what I train off. So yeah, that's the good and the confidence kind of builds because you're going to see, hey, this really works, you know, our plan works and we continue with the plan, not exactly with the right, the exactly same combinations, but my trainer, Bob Schreiber, he has a plan for me and everything that he say that works. So we continue with a plan and I just follow his instructions and I know that it's going to be all right and it's going to bring the best MMA fighter in me. So I believe every word that he said and I believe also that he's going to make me a champion in MMA.
Right. And we're mentioning that you're tied. I think is it three or four other fighters in Bellator where the four fight streak and it was saying, you know, that must feel really nice. When will you find out your next fight? Like how much time will you have to prepare for something like that?
Well, I'm already in preparation. I'm always in fight camp. So even if I have a call and you can fight next week, I am ready, you know. That's something that I'm really strict in. I'm always in training. So that's why if they coming with a last option also sometimes in kickboxing before I had like 2 days, you want to fight, someone is canceled. Can you? Of course I can fight because I always train. So my fight camp starts like 8 weeks. But if I have to fight like next week, I'm also ready because I'm always in training.
Right, right. Okay, interesting. And I'd mentioned that I don't even know if I want to try to get to where we were before with the where I said, what's the most you've been hurt in a fight? And I was expecting you to say like, oh, somebody broke my arm or, you know, I thought it was something like that. Yeah. But you know, maybe if you could quickly glance over what you had said, you know, it was an interesting perspective. It was something that I was not expecting from you.
Yeah, that, you know, in fighting, because you give everything you have in fight camp or in training in your whole life, you know, this fight is not for a fight camp, but it's just a life tradition. You know, I wake up and I train. I develop myself more as a fighter, as an MMA fighter, and there's a lot of work to do. So every day that I live for my dream. And if you're going in a fight, and even if you get hurt with a bruise or an eye cut or something, or even broke your bones, but the worst part of fighting, and I think of fighting in every competition, is losing. You know, the emotional part, like the physical part is really like, you get over it, but inside, that part is really, really like hurting a lot, you know? And right. That's why I'm saying like, If I fight and I lose after that, that mental part is really hard.
Interesting. Now it's almost like it eats away at you. Like, are there fights that you felt you should have won that you lost? Or do you go into every single fight going like, I'm going to win?
Yeah, if I fight someone, I 1000% I have like the mindset that I'm going to win. But the funniest part is that with my first MMA fight in Bellator, I fought after my win for the world title kickboxing. Bellator asked me, are you able to fight also an MMA fight? Because now you win from everyone in the kickbox division. We don't have any opponents yet. So do you want to go to MMA? But the funniest part is that 3 years before, I did an MMA fight. And that MMA fight, I was still doing kickboxing, and I thought, okay, I do judo, so I can do also an MMA fight. And I did the MMA fight, and I lost, but really with a strange arm bar in a stand-up position. It was like crazy. And after that, I told myself, because it was not that I take it easy on it, but I thought, oh, I was winning everything with kickboxing. I had black belt judo. So I thought at that time, I can do also an MMA fight, you know. Mm-hmm. But then it gets like worse, because then I going there, I'm standing against a Brazilian girl, and she was really like on the ground, really good. And so I think I underestimate the sport. Because I standing there and I think I'm just going to fight my kickboxing thing, you know. And then I got in an arm bar, really, really like tight. And I have to tap. And after that, that was like, I think 2015, that was like 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. And after that fight, after the MMA fight, I say to myself, I'm never, ever going to do MMA again.
Oh,
I'm
really?
Not good at it. This is not my thing. I thought I can do it, but I couldn't. And I lost. And that was also the emotional pain that I had, because, you know, in my face or something, I don't care. But inside, you know, you get so hurt that it's like, that's the worst pain you can ever have. And even that pain caused me that I was like bandit MMA in my life forever, you know. So then I started kickboxing again, and then I start with Bellator kickboxing, and I win, and I win again a world title, and then again. And then after, so from I think 2 or 3 years from that fight that I lost, Bellator asked me, would you want to fight an MMA fight? Mm. And that first thought that I was thinking about, because I was like totally banned MMA in my life, I was thinking, okay, how can I, okay, what can I really do this again, MMA? You know, I don't know if I'm really good at it. So I trained, but in the back of my mind, I still had that fight, that first fight. So I was like confident, but not really like the confidence that I always have.
Right.
And in that fight, it was in Israel against Jessica Middleton, and the fight for Bellator MMA, and the crowd was like boom. And Jessica Middleton was also a really good fighter, you know. She was really good in a stand-up, and she had also like the purple belt in BAA. So I thought, okay, that was really like my mind was there, so focused about other side, can I do this? And the other side, you have to do this. So that was a confusing part, the mental issue. But, you know, that was when my husband, Hesse, he saw in my face before we walked into the cage. He saw my face from, hey, you're not like Denise that I used to know, you know. Because then the little thoughts in my mind came, hey, think about the first MMA fight that you fought, you lost, you cannot do this, you cannot do this, you know. And then you get smaller, and I was already standing on the catwalk. And then my husband told me, wake up, you know, this is your dream. This, you want this, you're standing here, look at the crowd, look at the cage, this is your dream. Don't think about the past, think about what you are doing now. So he's just giving me that wake-up call, and I'm walking on the catwalk, and I'm thinking, yeah, what the hell am I thinking about, you know?
Snap out of it.
No, I'm not going to lose. And then after that fight, you know, I think I was never, ever so happy in my life before than that fight, because just like 10 minutes before the fight, I was thinking, hey, can I really do this? And then after that, because I won in 30 seconds, I won with an arm bar.
Oh, yeah.
And that was something, you know, that I was so happy that you, like, you win from your mind, you know. It's not the win from Jessica Middleton or the win in the fight, but that was really like a victory for my mind, because 10 minutes ago I was thinking about losing, and now I'm standing here dancing and celebrate my win, you know. So how crazy a mind can change, like, the whole situation, the whole direction. But right. After that fight, I knew, okay, this is what I want to be the champion in. And I still have that 1,000% focus still right now.
That's awesome, yeah. And how much do you credit, because you were mentioning that you put that your dad had put you into judo at 9? Yes. How much do you credit him for where you are?
Everything that I think that if my dad was not here, that I'm not sitting here, I think, with this whole dream. Mm-hmm. He did, you know, so many. Now that I'm older, I'm thinking about wow, that every Saturday, really early in the morning, going with me to judo competitions all over the country, driving with me to the training every day, you know, also for him, because I'm now right now at this point where I'm standing, all because of him, because mm-hmm. at 9 years, and you have such a, like, support from your parents, and especially my dad, because he was really dedicated. He bring me to every training, to all over. It doesn't matter where the training were or how long he has to drive. He just drove with me all over the whole place, you know.
Dedicated. So
really dedicated. And I think that if he wasn't there, that I'm not also not here.
Right. And when do you think parents should enroll kids? Because at 9, like, 9's pretty old, not old, but, like, old-ish.
Yeah.
When do you think that parents should think about enrolling into martial arts?
I think that, especially judo, you know, I think that martial arts is really, really, like, important for every child, you know, because it's not that you have to become a fighter, but about your self-aware. Martial arts really learns you how to respect others, how to develop yourself, how to make you stronger, give you confidence. And I think there is no other sport that can build that, all that points in your mind. And I think as a child, for every child in the whole world, it's really important that you have the self-aware, that you can defend yourself, and you have, like, the confidence to do something with your own power, you know. I mean, power is in your heart, it's in yourself, and not with weapons or with guns or something, but you have power, you have the power in yourself, and that's on your own body. And I think if you learn children that, they're self-aware and the respect for others, because that's also something important in martial art, that you learn to respect others. And I think if every child, like, I think with judo you can start with 4 years, and wow. if you just learn at 4 years old, and you can already learn, you know, all the self-aware, that I think you can have, like, a whole nother humankind. If every man or every woman or what else just know about martial arts, it's going to be a whole different world then.
Interesting. I do want to get outside of fighting again and what you're known for, but this one will be real fast. I want to get out of you the 3 albums that you would need if you're stuck on a deserted island.
Okay. The albums, do you mean like the music?
Yeah. What are the 3 albums that you need?
Okay, first of all, I need, I think, just my roots. I need some salsa or merengue. So I love, like, Prince Royce,
right,
or just like because I think Spanish music is really, like, make you happy. And then I have my emotional part that's going to be, like, the typical Dutch music. So, like, André Hazes. And then the third one, it's really the part of just thinking about nothing, just going there, train, and that's like Latin house and house music.
Interesting. So you're taking a little bit from your mom with the salsa, yeah. taking a little yeah. bit of your dad with the traditional Dutch music, and then you like that. And what did you say? I can't remember what you said your first concert was.
My first concert was also Prince Royce. Yes, that was 10 years ago. Yeah, the Latin Spanish singer, Prince Royce. He was in Amsterdam, and I'm going to his concert. That was pretty nice. Yeah.
Whatever. There was one thing that I wanted. What's your favorite app on your phone? Somebody asked me that the other day, and I was like, wow, that's an interesting question.
Yeah, but that's a really interesting question, because you have so much app, and now everyone is like, the phone is their life. So
totally.
It's crazy. But I think, I think WhatsApp. Yeah. The first thing that I if I put on my phone, I'm watching my WhatsApp messages. Yes.
Right. And which platform are you more active on, like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter?
Twitter, I have to be honest, is not really that I'm really active on, but I love my Facebook, my like página, and I love my Instagram. Yeah, that's the two things that I'm most active on.
Right. And you're saying you guys are working on a website. Would you think you'll have that?
I'm working on the website. This year is going to be a website also, and this year is going to be a lot of good things that are coming. So I'm really really excited for all of that that's coming.
Yeah, title fight's got to be up there. Like, that's got to be.
And that's in my. I think I deserve it. You know, if I look at I don't want to put myself in front of anyone, but I really deserve that fight. You know, and I think that if I be honest, that there's no other girl that's in my division in Bellator that's right now is gonna have the skills to fight against Julia Pelana, you know, and Velasquez, sorry. And I think I have the skills, and I already been through that. I know she's big, I know she's a southpaw, and she's really good, but I already been through all that. So I think that I will be the best next challenger for her.
Yeah, I agree. What's been your career highlight thus far?
That far is like everything that I accomplished in my career is a highlight, you know, and everything that I accomplished from my judo to kickboxing to this MMA fight, everything that I accomplished is like my highlight. And I'm thinking in the worst times from, okay, why am I doing this? Exactly for all those victories that I have made. And that's why I'm thinking like the MMA, because going from judo to kickboxing, now in MMA, like the MMA title fight and the MMA title is really the crown of my whole career. So every hour, every minute that I just spent in my whole life in martial arts, that MMA world title fight is the crown for everything of that. So
like all building to that point.
Yes. Yeah. I think like if I'm doing, I did judo, I did kickboxing, but MMA is really like the typical thing of everything that comes together, and all those different disciplines come together in the cage. And to be the champion in that, I think you are just like the champion in everything in martial arts, everything that martial arts stands for, you are the champion of it, because everything comes in that cage, you know. So that's my ultimate goal, to have like that red belt hanging here in Amsterdam on my wall.
yeah. Well, good for you.
Next to my blue belt.
Thank you again for taking some more time out of your day to...
Thank you. No problem.
How embarrassing to have to come back on and do this again. Again, you're very easy to find online. Simply your name on Twitter and at Miss Dynamite on Instagram. Soon to launch the website. Soon to place the red beside the blue.
Yes.
Thank you again for taking some time, and have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you. For you the same. Good okay. night.
The Toddcast Podcast on toddhancock.ca.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.